Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Monday morning to you. It can be happy, right? It's tough to wake up. I get it. If you're coming off a weekend where you were off Saturday, Sunday, and you're maybe out of the routine, and now you got to wake up early on this Monday, that alarm clock feels like it's feels like it needs to be thrown across the room. I swear there are times the only reason that I do not throw my alarm is because it's my phone, and that's not a good idea. But I feel like it sometimes. Although mine's the complete opposite of yours. I wake up in the afternoons because I have to walk the dog. And then if I do take a nap in the evenings, I wake up in the pitch black and wonder, wait, where am I? What happened? Am I late? That happens a lot. So happy Monday morning to you. I hope that we can keep you company here for the next hour as you try to get back into your routine. And I hope that you had a fantastic weekend. Only a couple of them left in the summer. And then what? We're into September, post-Labor Day. It's coming so quickly. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we've got a couple different things going on here, both on the show as well as with our social media. We've got multiple polls up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, you can find them. Our Man Crush Monday poll is pretty standard, so you can check that out, and we'll talk about some of the candidates as we head through this hour, and we let you know what we're jonesing on come football, baseball. There's always a lot to talk about this time of the year, but plenty of news and notes from the weekend, and also a couple of fun stories too to come out of professional sports this weekend. And then there's Antonio Brown. Nothing fun about what's happening with AB and the Raiders. And no, this is not an old show that you stumbled upon. It just sounds like I'm talking about the same thing over and over and over again. So we'll get into the deets, but our poll is to gauge whether or not you believe this is authentic. Is it authentic drama, or is it contrived just for Hard Knocks and ratings on HBO, just for talking points to make the show more popular? Or maybe you're clueless and you don't actually know. You think it could be real, but you also think it could be contrived, like most reality shows are. And so we have an option for that as well. And so check out those polls on Twitter or on Facebook. A lot of you are weighing in with your extensive comments. Facebook doesn't limit how many words you use, and so many of you use your words. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. It definitely sounds like Mike Mayock and the Raiders have had their fill. And that blows me away. Brown has only been a Raider since early March. We're talking about 5 months. He hasn't lined up for a single solitary snap with the Raiders. Outside of a handful of OTAs, when he was trying to sneak his old helmet onto the field, disguised in silver and black. And a couple of walkthroughs. A practice in July. Oh, and when the bright lights of the cameras were focused on him Thursday, yeah, he was running routes and catching passes like a superstar. That was in warm-ups for the Raiders preseason game. But yet again, he is gone from the team. And Mayock's had it. Brown was supposed to be a full participant in practice on Sunday. The Raiders actually canceled Monday practices, so Sunday is the last day of training camp. He's supposed to be there. He's supposed to go full tilt. They're finally going to get him out there on the practice field. And I know they were looking forward to it because we've heard that from John Gruden and the players over and over and over again. Except he wasn't there. Now, we can get into the beef with the NFL over his helmet. And maybe he does have a real beef. But my question is, how is that the team's fault? It's not the team that isn't certifying his older helmet model. It's not the team who's decided that even though he's found a newer version of the helmet that he loves, that he can't use it. That's not the Raiders. And yet somehow the Raiders are paying the price because he keeps going AWOL and disappearing. Why is he punishing the team that took a chance on him? His teammates who desperately want him in camp, who really want to see what that offense looks like with him lined up and flying down the sideline. All they care about is the go routes with Antonio Brown, and all he cares about is throwing temper tantrums. He had some really strong words for the NFL, pointing to the league as hypocritical. And again, all of that may be true. Let's say worst case scenario, the NFL is doing this on purpose just to stick it to Antonio Brown. Maybe they're tired of his act and they're not going to certify any damn helmet that he brings to them. Maybe it is the NFL being hypocritical. But that has nothing to do with the Raiders. And yet it's the Raiders that he keeps skipping out on. And so Mike Mayock gathers the media around Sunday and says, you've probably noticed Antonio Brown's not here.
So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but we've, at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out. So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No questions.
We have 89 guys who are busting their tails. Not 90, 89. Quote, from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out. It took 5 months for AB's act to wear thin. 5 months, not a single solitary snap. He hasn't even played in the preseason. And the Raiders are already issuing an ultimatum. Generally, ultimatums are not a good idea because they back people into corners. I'll just admit it. I've given ultimatums in relationships before. Bad idea. Usually signals the beginning of the end. I know Antonio Brown wants to play. He's not going to retire over the helmet issue. And I understand that it's important to him. These two things are not mutually exclusive. He can be upset about the NFL and the helmet and continue to work through that and still be with the team. And it's very telling that Mayock's comments were not only to the media with microphones and cameras, but posted on the Oakland Raiders Twitter account. Yeah, they want the world to know it's time for him to be all in or all out. End of story. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Drew Rosenhaus, who walked Antonio Brown into practice last week and also answered questions last week, and it was all smiles and they were ready to go. This is about his feet. It's not about his helmet. We're going to work this out. Well, now Drew Rosenhaus is in Florida responding to the comments of Mayock on 7 Sports Extra.
We've worked very closely with the Raiders, and we will continue to work very closely with the Raiders. I'm not sure that we agree that we've exhausted all the options, as Mike Mayock said, but there's no doubt it's still an ongoing process. We are trying to work with the team and the league and the union to come up with a solution. We haven't figured it out yet. To say that AB is upset about the decision to not let him wear his helmet is accurate, but we're still processing it and figuring it out. I wouldn't make too much about him not being there today as much as we're still trying to come up with a solution that works for everyone.
Why? Why wouldn't you make too much of him not being there? Maybe because you're not the one whose offense is revolving around the star wide receiver? It's a little bit naive to think that the football part doesn't matter. The other 89 guys are in camp, but you don't need to be because you're so darn good? Come on. At the very least, show up, wear a helmet you don't like, and run through your first full practice with your team in 3 weeks. You would think the guy wants to play football. And so Drew Rosenhaus responding. They're still going through all of their various options with the league. But it's mid-August. Still 3 weeks until the season kicks off. And Mayock's had it. And you know he speaks for Gruden as well. So do you believe this is real drama? Fairly typical of Antonio Brown over the last year or so. And even before that. But we've talked about it a lot. A lot. Over the last year. Or is this contrived for the cameras of Hard Knocks? Is this more along the line of The Hills? Or the Kardashians? Oh, funny. Considering that multiple members of the Steelers last year called them the Kardashians of the NFL. Feels like the Kardashians have moved to Northern California. It's interesting to think about the options, too. I don't know what happens if you give a player an ultimatum and he couldn't care less, which seems to be the case with AB. The Raiders could cut him, but they'd still owe him a heck of a lot of money over the next 2 years because there's guaranteed money, remember? He's not about the unguarantees. He's only about the guaranteed money. They could issue him a formal letter. They could place him on the reserve. There's actually a list that covers players who left. They can shut him down. They can suspend him. They can fine him. I mean, they could do all these things. But is that how they want to handle this situation? Before they even start the season? I guess we'll find out on Hard Knocks. Now, at this point, it's more than just the TV show. You can hear the frustration, and I can understand the frustration. Why is AB always putting himself ahead of the team? And yet, we know this. AB's top priority is always AB. It's never his team. When push comes to shove, we already know who's number one in his world. And that act has already worn thin. It's not even been 6 months. So I guess the honeymoon period's over. You don't generally issue ultimatums on the honeymoon. So, well, not this kind of ultimatum. And so, I don't know what happens from here. I hope he gets it. I hope he gets how badly they want him. And takes advantage of that. But he may not. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So take our poll. Yep, it's a poll just about Antonio Brown. A-Law Radio or our Man Crush Monday poll. We're getting a lot of your feedback on Twitter and on Facebook about him. But also about fantasy football and how many leagues you're playing. And if you missed our conversation with DraftKings NFL analyst Greg Ehrenberg, he was here in studio during the first hour, which was really cool. And we asked him, top running back, top receiver, how do you put strategies together for actually winning and making money on a consistent basis. This is it's his job. It's what he does. Oh, I asked him the question too of, is it skill or is it luck? That was also an interesting answer. So you'll want to check that out on our podcast. You can always find the link on Twitter and Facebook as soon as the show is over. But it's not over yet.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop. Fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone.
Time for QB News on After Hours.
It was a big time signing for the Philadelphia Eagles over the weekend, and we now have another 40-year-old quarterback in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Why do I say big time signing? Well, for the Eagles, they no longer have Nick Foles. He is now the starter in Jacksonville, and a couple of different guys who are or were expected to back up Carson Wentz have gotten injured. So Cody Kessler in concussion protocol. Nate Sudfeld has also been hurt. And so there's been some question about who is going to be the primary backup to Carson Wentz. And we know his injury history. And so Doug Peterson and the Eagles go out and get 40-year-old Josh McCown. And they like the fact that he brings wisdom and he brings experience.
Veteran guy who's been around the league, you know, and I've said this all along, the quarterback position is not immune to any of this. So that's why we did it. We're excited to get him in here, get him caught up and see what he can do.
Last two seasons with the New York Jets. For McCown, he thought he was retired until the Eagles came calling. And actually, he said it was an easy sell.
Just organizationally, from the top down, you know, starting obviously with Mr. Lurie and then you know, Howie and Doug and just what they've built here. And, you know, throughout my career, you know, for the most part, it's kind of been in startup type situations where there's a new head coach or you're just, you know, they're rebuilding. And that's kind of been my job to go in and kind of help with that type of stuff.
I admire him. I admire Ryan Fitzpatrick, who continue throughout the course of their careers to kind of bounce around, get adjusted to a new system, start as long as they're needed to start, bridge a gap, so to speak, and then move on. And in his case, at 40 years old, he thought he was done. He said there were a limited number of teams for which he would have ended his retirement.
To have an opportunity to come to a place where they've had success, obviously recent success, and win a championship and be a part of that, and you know, just it was hard to, you know, hard to stay away from.
So Josh McCown may be the number two quarterback in the Eagles system when the season starts, in essence though replacing Nick Foles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Pete Carroll and the Seahawks actually had their starting offense on the field for last night's preseason game against the Vikings. We got to see Kirk Cousins and the starters from Minnesota for a short time as well. Not every team used its starting QBs over the weekend. In fact, I would say more didn't than did give their starters opportunities. But Wilson was out there for a series, as was Cousins. It was good to see them chuck the ball around. And we know what Seattle did rushing the ball last year, but they were also really excited, or they are really excited, about DK Metcalf, the wide receiver that they picked up in the draft. And he now has to have surgery on a knee injury that he suffered, though Carroll says it doesn't seem like he'll be out for a long time. We're not talking about an ACL or anything like that. And so they're off and running. And I think there's a lot of optimism because of how the Seahawks controlled the ball at the end of last year. And also, it's just fun to see these starters out there on the field.
Thought the first unit did a nice job. We did a nice job with tempo. Russ was moving the club pretty well. We missed a couple third down throws that would have made a big difference in their outing. But they did move the football well. The first line protected well and did all the things that we had hoped to do. Kind of just getting started.
That's kind of the deal, right? Second preseason game, just getting started for some of these guys who didn't play in the preseason opener. This was their first time on the field. We should see more of them in that third preseason game, though we're hearing more and more that there are veterans who will not play at all during this preseason. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Been plenty of snaps on the field for Dak Prescott, and he's looked good. I know maybe Cowboys fans don't want to hear it because, you know, oh my gosh, is he actually worth the $40 million? He's not asking for $40 million. Anyway, the Dallas Cowboys had a 97-yard drive to start out against the Rams on Saturday. And so far, Prescott hasn't missed a pass in a preseason game, though most of the focus is on the backfield. And there was some delight, even jokes from Jerry Jones about the rookie Tony Pollard after he looked good.
Is Pollard your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Yeah. Zeke who?
He's got to talk. That's not Jerry Jones laughing. That is reporters who are guffawing away at Jones' attempted humor. Zeke who? Oh my gosh, did you hear them laugh? It's like they think they'll get better quotes if they laugh harder. Anyway, he was just kidding, right? Of course, they want Ezekiel Elliott to be with them when they start the season. But it is nice to know that behind that offensive line, you've got fresh legs in Pollard. And no, is Pollard going to be Zeke? Is Alfred Morris going to be Zeke? No. But the idea, though, is that if you have to, you can at least replace some of those yards with a fresh, young running back who can find holes behind that offensive line. So I think in a perfect world, Jones would prefer that he's got more depth at the position.
It'd certainly be a great compliment to have a great running game with I can picture those guys in same sets at the same time out there and really giving those defenses fits.
Interesting to think about what you do with Ezekiel Elliott if you are drafting in your fantasy draft sometime in the next week and a half. I think our draft is 8-9 days away, so it's coming up. Elliott certainly is a guy that churns up a lot of yards and is very productive, has been since he got into the league. But similar to the Le'Veon Bell situation last year, you take him at your own risk, right? Unless it's a keeper league and you can maybe put him on the bench or put him on injured reserve. I'm not sure how it works in your league, but there's a question. Remember, Bell went out of his way to apologize to fantasy football owners for letting them down. Didn't apologize to the Steelers and his teammates last year, only to the fantasy football owners more than once, actually. All right, you can take our AB poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Also, our Man Crush Monday poll. I'm pleasantly surprised that we have a variety of responses. I was thinking that both of these polls might be overwhelmingly in one direction, but you guys are the variety, the spice of life. And so coming up, we'll get to some baseball as well, because there was some good stuff over the weekend. And Andrew Bogus is here in studio. In honor of your returning from vacation, I brought cookies.
Is that true?
No, but okay. There are cookies.
What type of cookies?
Chocolate chip.
I'm in.
I figured you would be.
Thank you in advance.
You're welcome. How is vacay?
Vacation was very good. Vacation is now very over.
I mean, you can still be basking in the glow a little bit, right?
No, not that 3 a.m. wake-up call. I got to my train station this morning, and they had undergone in 1 week a major construction project, so the platform I normally stand on didn't exist anymore. I had to walk like a thousand.
Did you get lost?
Well, it just was a very daunting, like, it's just overwhelming, all of these things returning to real life. And then to, like, pull up to gated train station, go, well, how do I get to work right now? And there's, like, one little light at the end, 1,000 feet to the right. It's like, walk this way to the train. Like, oh, okay. Mm. You guys did a lot in a week.
Huh.
Yeah.
But cookies.
They were all even now.
Fresh. Just made them.
Like in the last week? Because recently,
like,
you tried to give me
in the last 36 hours.
Well, because recently you tried to feed me like a week old cupcake, and even your mom came to my rescue.
But it was really good, though. I ate it, and it was fine. I tried it just in case, and it was still really good.
Okay.
I'll have to do that again sometime. But in the meantime, chocolate chip cookies.
I'm excited. Thank you.
This might be my best batch ever. So
all right.
It still can be vacation.
Fine by me.
Sort of.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Way back and long gone, Pete Alonso becomes just the fourth man ever to have a 40 home run season. He's the first National League rookie to ever do it. And now that Mets single season franchise home run record is just two away from belonging to Alonso outright.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cody Bellinger issued a congratulations to Pete Alonso on Twitter after he broke that record set by Bellinger a couple of years ago. 40 home runs now for Pete Alonso, and this is with a slow start following the All-Star break. Wayne Randazzo with the call on the Mets radio network. Alonso and the Mets rallied past the Royals in a game they won on Sunday. And that National League wild card is a crazy crapshoot. But that'll make it fun over the next several weeks. About a month and a half or so. I guess we could call it 6 weeks. But the Mets, the Phillies, the Brewers have identical records, all of them. A three-way tie, two games back of the Cubs, who are essentially locked in a tie with the Cardinals atop the NL Central, and then the Nationals, who continue to play extremely well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 50% or more on your car insurance. So Pete Alonso is one of our Man Crush Monday candidates. Also in the poll or on Facebook, regardless, you'll be able to find a spot on either of our social media sites. You've got Zach Greinke, who just won his 200th game as a major league pitcher. Also, Rafael Ortega. So while we're talking about the NL East, it was a game between the Dodgers and Braves that featured a whole lot of fireworks. Cody Bellinger's 42nd home run early in that game, a ball that was nearly pulled back from over the wall by Ronald Acuna. Then Acuna blasts a long drive in the third inning, postures, watches it instead of running, and it wasn't a home run, so it bangs off the wall for a long single. It should have been a double. He gets pulled from the game, and I appreciate that Brian Snitker drew that hard line in the stand. We'll hear from him in just a second. So it's left to someone else to try to be the guy who is stepping up for the Atlanta Braves, but pretty cool that it happens to be Rafael Ortega.
Fly ball, crushed to right, back toward the wall, got a chance to go, it's gone! The grandest of all home runs, Rafael Ortega, takes May deep with a sax full, and the Braves vault in front.
It's a pretty sweet moment for him, and it, I think, helps soothe a little bit what was going on with Acuna, who again got benched in the fifth inning because he hadn't run out a hard hit ball. That call on the Braves radio network. And as I say, Snitker's not messing around. Doesn't matter if you're a superstar or you're number 25 on the roster. Rules are rules, and we've got expectations.
It's not going to be acceptable here. I mean, as a teammate, you're responsible for 24 other guys. And that name on the front is a lot more important than the name on the back. That jersey, you can't do that. We're trying to accomplish something and do something special here, and personal things got to be put in the back burner. You can't let your team down like that.
You know what? As I'm listening to the skipper talk, and I want you to play that again in a second. Doesn't it sound like he could be talking to Antonio Brown? Like that hard line that he drew in the stand with his star player Ronald Acuna holds him out of a game because he's styling instead of running. Everything that he just said about putting the team first instead of yourself, about caring more about the other guys in that clubhouse than you care about you, all of that could apply to Antonio Brown.
That's not going to be acceptable here. I mean, there's, as a teammate, you're responsible for 24 other guys. And that name on the front is a lot more important than the name on the back of that jersey. And you can't do that. We're trying to accomplish something and do something special here. And personal things got to be put in the back burner. You know, you can't let your team down like that.
No doubt Mike Mayock would agree after he delivers an ultimatum to Antonio Brown on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about cool stories, and no, Mike Freeman is not in our Man Crush Monday poll, though you are welcome to submit write-in votes as always on Twitter or on Facebook. Mike Freeman found out he was going to play for the Cleveland Indians on Saturday night at Yankee Stadium, a place that he definitely is in awe of. But he also had a huge moment himself, a 3-run home run off CC Sabathia, and the Indians were able to split that series with the Yankees. Incidentally, with the Dodgers' loss and the Yankees splitting the series with the Indians, it's actually New York that now has the best record in Major League Baseball. But really cool for Mike Freeman, who again got a rare start and yet made the most of his opportunity in a place that he was so excited about being in, because he's mostly a career minor leaguer and gets opportunities to come up and then go down and come up and then go down. And so for him, this is like the World Series.
You know, to play at Yankee Stadium is special. Went out to Monument Park before the game and to see all the history here. You know, it's a new stadium, but a lot of history in the Monument Park, and people to play in Yankee Stadium, it makes a day like today, make all the years pay off.
10 years he's been a professional baseball player for 5 different organizations, and he spent most of his time in the minors. But with the Indians playing as well as they have since June, maybe there's a chance that Mike Freeman could actually play in the World Series. There's a lot of predictions about which teams will end up there, but gosh, there are a lot of variations of which teams could even be in the playoffs. The Twins have won 5 in a row, I think, and so they're on top of the AL Central now. But really, you start to understand why the teams really don't want to be in that wild card, why it's so important right now to put on the afterburners and try to grab that division title. But I like it that way. I like the fact that there is a premium placed on winning your division and that it makes all these regular season games so important. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I was feeling torn earlier when we started the show. Yes, I want to hang on to summer. I had a good time at the beach on Saturday. Got there really early. It was so pretty. It was foggy. If you haven't seen the pictures, I put some up on Twitter. Although you have to scroll down a little ways now. But they're up there from Saturday night. And I'm excited about a couple more weekends of summer and a little bit of a lazy routine. But man, the football news is coming hot and heavy. And college football season is right around the corner. So tonight, Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, you can join CBS Sports Network's team of experts as they tackle the hottest topics on the college gridiron. It's Inside College Football on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Yeah, no doubt. It's that time of the year where there's great anticipation for football, and yet we can't forget about baseball or about golf. Golf in its playoffs right now. You know what didn't happen this weekend? What didn't happen is any talk at all about Tiger Woods. He did play, but did you hear even a peep? Nothing. I'm glad that he was able to get through the tournament, because right now that's a challenge. But in this FedEx Cup playoff, there's a lot more attention on the guys who actually have a chance to win. So Justin Thomas winning the BMW over the weekend and is now the top seed for the Tour Championship. And yet, even though he's been on the biggest stages in golf, and even though he had a 6-shot lead on Sunday, he said he still felt jitters.
I was really nervous before, like kind of as I was leaving my house and driving to the course. It's probably a better time just to kind of put your phone away and not have stuff. It's just, yeah, everyone always texts you, and it's just like it. And then I got the locker room guys giving me advice in the locker room of how to finish off a tournament. And I was like, I've done this a couple times, guys, but thank you.
That's kind of like Twitter, right? When you're on Twitter, everyone's an expert. Everyone's a doctor. Everyone can diagnose your medical condition. Everyone knows everything on social media. And it's funny that the clubhouse guys at the BMW were giving him advice. This is in Medina, Illinois. Now, his jitters were founded in the fact that Patrick Cantlay, who was right behind him, battled him to the end. And actually, that 6-shot lead shrunk down to 2. But then Thomas was showing off with the short game and a couple of big putts, and he was able to secure that victory. And it's been 12 months, a full year for him since he last won.
This is so bizarre. How am I supposed to keep this up for five? Or, you know, what's going to happen over five rounds in 5 days is so long. So I guess you can somewhat compare it to that. But no, I mean, I like that golf course. I just really need to start driving it better to play it well. But I'm just going to, I know if I shoot a lower score than everybody over 72 holes, then I'll be fine.
Yeah, that's basically what golf is, right? As he looks ahead to the Tour Championship, he'll start the tournament at 10 under par with a 2-shot lead. There's this new scoring format. It's odd. I don't get it. It's like NASCAR tweaking its race format and constantly tweaking its playoff standings. But yeah, it's the last 30 players, and they're chasing a $15 million grand prize. But you go into 5 days of golf and seedings and everything else. By the way, the Tour Championship will not include Tiger Woods. But you remember, this is the tournament he won a year ago. This was kind of when all that work from all year long paid off, but it also took its toll. He had played so much golf that he was ready for that Tour Championship, but then completely tanked and was completely a mess at the Ryder Cup. And other than the Masters, hasn't been able to recover, though I don't think he would trade that green jacket for anything else that he might have won this year on the tour. All right, so we've also got Justin Thomas in our Man Crush Monday poll, so check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And if you haven't seen the story of 9-year-old Henry Fresca, who's a Red Sox fan turned Chris Davis fan, check that out as well. We're back with you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.